It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is Keeping the Faith by Billy Joel, I believe from his 1983 album, An Innocent Man. That's going out to the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that's, to me, the biggest immediate question facing the Grizzlies right now is whether they can keep the faith in their ability to turn things around, at least as much as their current roster will allow them by the time they get to the postseason.
All right. What was your sense from last night? You were there, and I don't know if you were in the locker room afterwards. What was your what's your sense of their ability to keep the faith right now?
I was in the locker room not immediately because the locker room opened when Asalo was all had just begun to talk. So Drew and I split up, and okay. I recorded Asalo, and Drew went to the locker room. But then I went to the locker room later. I don't know. It's hard to get a read. Right. There was, Ja left early, and that may be an indicator of something. Bane was extremely late coming out, although he was very cordial and very composed when he did, but it was unusually late for him to come out. Jaren was funny, and Jaren was grounded, as he tends to be. Obviously, it wasn't, some great move, given the way that they lost the game. But I really think, this may sound overly rosy or optimistic. I don't know. I just try to process the information in front of me as honestly as I can. They actually did pretty well in that game, with the exception of they couldn't make shots. Boston's great. Boston's won, I think, 14 of their last 15 games. The only loss was to OKC. And they held Boston to 40% shooting. Defense has been the biggest problem for the Grizzlies over the last month or so. They held Boston to 40% shooting from the floor and I think 34% from three. Turnovers have been a huge problem for the Grizzlies. They only turned over 10 times. they did everything they needed to do to win that game, except they couldn't make shots. They shot like 27% from three. And Boston took, even though Boston didn't shoot a good percentage, they took 60 of them. And I thought, at one point watching the game, I posted, I guess, on Blue Sky, like, has anyone ever beat the Celtics without shooting well from three? Like, is it even possible? Because they take so many, it's like you can't keep up unless you shoot really well. And so I looked it up. I researched it late in the game. And after last night, Boston is now 20-1 this season when their opponent shoots less than 30% from three. It doesn't matter what else you do. If you don't shoot reasonably well, you cannot keep up with them. And that's sort of what happened last night. And, like, Luke Kennard hadn't taken a shot, basically, in two games. And, you know, Bane shot poorly, and Pippen shot poorly, and Aldama shot poorly. But in terms of, like, shots go in, shots don't go in. In terms of the more controllable aspects of the game, your effort, your consistency, your defense, they actually played pretty well. And that's one of the frustrating things these last four games. The 1-3 of these last four games. But I think they have generally played better basketball these last four games than they did the three before when they started out with three on that road trip. That's probably the point they decided to make a coaching change, when you lose at Sacramento badly, at Portland badly, at the Clippers badly. Since then, like, they played much better. Like, they played Oklahoma City and Boston, teams that throttle everybody. And they were generally competitive in those games. And then, you know, obviously you're right out on Utah, who's terrible. And then the Lakers game, like, was, like, right there to be won, and they couldn't finish them off. And in part, I think, because they didn't play their guys enough, which is another issue last night, they were playing somewhat better. And so the question to me is, can they hold it together enough to give themselves a chance to turn the corner? Because the reality is, like, they are playing for playoff positioning right now, and that's important. But their season will not end at game 82. They're going to be in the postseason. And so, like, the most important thing right now is, like, somehow getting to game 83 in a better spot than you're at right now, because there will be a game 83.
Well, it does feel like it does feel like it's another reason that tonight's game, it means it's important for all kinds of reasons. One, it's the next game, and you've lost a whole lot and whatever.
Right.
It's against a Golden State team that you're jockeying with for playoff position. Obviously, that's for that reason, it's a massive game. But then what you just said, like, at some point, it feels like a win would help bolster the faith in a significant way right now. You know?
A win against a decent team,
decent
right?
Team.
Like,
yeah.
Beating Utah didn't do that much for you. Charlotte won't do that much for you. But, like, beating Golden State will not only help you in the standings, I think it will help your attitude about yourself, right?
Yeah. It is interesting. On the threes, of course, it is true that they didn't make shots. It's also true that they didn't, like, Luke didn't get a shot, didn't shoot a three, and right. Bane only shot five. You know, like, it feels like the Celtics get a good job of making sure the guys who you wanted to be shooting threes were not shooting threes.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why they're the defending champs and one of the elite teams in the league, right?
Right.
Like they're good on both ends of the floor, and they have maybe only second to Oklahoma City in terms of the quality of their perimeter defense. And so, but that was a game where the offense was the greatest problem. They did enough defensively to win. I know 117 seems like a lot of points. These days it's not so much. But, like, holding Boston to 117, like, that's enough to give you a chance to win the game. And it was their offense that failed them in that. And, yes, Boston's defense is a part of that. But even with the shots they got up, you know, like, from the shooters who got them up. You know, Santi Aldama, if he shoots his normal percentage on all of his attempts. Scottie Pippen went 0 for 4. He's been shooting 40% lately. Even with the shots they got, if the shooters who took those shots hit their normal percentages, right, you have a chance to win that game. And so, and that's even with, like, you know, you could add up the numbers, right? If you take the top three players from the Celtics, I know I've been banging this drum, but I think it's a drum worth banging. If you take the top three players in the Celtics, in terms of, like, who are the three best players in that game, that's Tatum, Porzingis, and Derek White, and you take the Grizzlies' top three, which is Ja Morant, Desmond, and Jared Jackson, and add up the minutes, it's like an 8 or 9 minute, you know, advantage for the Celtics in a game that, you know, you combine that with the shooting. And so my point is only that, like, the stuff is there for this team to be, but they're not going to be OKC, Boston, or Cleveland, like, period. But the stuff is still there for them to be a competitive team against good teams. And, like, it's just a matter of just turning the dial just enough. And to me, the question is, or is there enough faith and commitment they're going to have left to give themselves a chance to turn that dial?
Tatum played 38 minutes. Derek White played 36 minutes. Al Horford, you wouldn't count as one of their three best players,
right,
and he's old as Methuselah, but he played 37 minutes. And Ja played 35. Played 33.
If you add the minutes at the top three for each, you'll see the 7, 8, 9 minutes, something like that.
So,
and I think that is the thing that has the Grizzlies playing uphill against every good team they play this season.
So, either before or after the game, did the new interim coach say anything interesting or striking?
A lot of the stuff from him, I think there's a lot of stuff we're gathering that's going to be really interesting. Like if he has the job going into next season, which I think he may well have in terms of really constructing like the way he thinks about basketball and that.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about stuff to me that's been notable about him is how just composed and comfortable he seems. And I'm trying to get a read on whether that is, I know I got the job already for next season.
Right.
Or that is, I know I'm fine regardless. Like, if I don't have this job, I'll have some other job. And I'm just so comfortable with myself and, like, self-assured that, like, there's no franticness with him at all. Maybe that's just his personality. But he seems like I don't know. I mean, it's definitely novel given like the past 6 years with Taylor Jenkins, who's so like animated all the time. This guy's very reserved. I did have an opportunity because Zach Edey had two early fouls, and then got a third foul in the second quarter. It was like the same thing with Jaren Jackson in the game before, and he ends up playing like 14 minutes or whatever. Obviously, Zach Edey is not Jaren Jackson, and he probably would have played more if they wanted him to play more. But still, like the rotation was altered by the fouls,
right,
which gave me an opportunity to go to one of my tried and true things and to ask Isolo about his philosophy about reacting to fouls. And it's another thing that I really wish I could have just followed up like a normal human conversation instead of like you get your one question and then the microphone moves on. But what I liked about his answer was he sort of gave sort of a little bit of a resigned smile, and he said, you know, it's a coaching convention, and that's really won my heart when he described it as a coaching convention, because that's what it is. He said it's a coaching convention that if a guy's fouls exceed the quarter, you have to take them out. So if you get two in the first or three in the second or whatever. And he said, but of course you want to have your guys double for the end of the game, which is where I would have followed up, because guess who was on the floor at the end of the game? Cam Spencer and John Conchar. But he said, you know, it's a coaching convention, and that's what we do, but, like, maybe that's something we need to think about. And so he half won my heart with that.
It is interesting. We don't know. If it goes really badly, if they, you know, end up in the play-in, let's say they end up and then they end up either not getting into the playoffs from the play-in, or let's say they end up playing Oklahoma City, which is very possible. If they lose the first play-in game, right, then you can end up playing Oklahoma City, and you lose in 4 or 5 to Oklahoma City.
Well, but before that point, you get to a really – if you find yourself in a game where you're playing for the right to face Oklahoma City as the 8th seed,
yeah,
that gets into a really interesting spot where there's going to be a strong argument that you're better off losing that game.
And being in the lottery.
Because you get your draft pick. Your draft pick is lottery protected.
Yeah.
So would you rather have the 14th pick?
I'd rather have the 14th pick than the demoralizing games against Oklahoma City. That would be the worst.
Now you wouldn't say that relative to the 15th pick or whatever and facing Houston in a first round.
No,
right?
No, probably not. But my larger question was, if it goes badly in either of those ways, let's say their assumption is they want to make Isolo the new head coach next year. Do you think that if things go badly enough, they would be persuaded not to?
Oh, I don't think. I think it may. And again, this is tea leaf reading.
100%. Yeah, we're speculating. Yes.
My tea leaf reading is that Isolo is sort of in the spot unless he gets knocked out of the spot. Like, it's not locked down, but I think that is the default position, that he'll be the head coach next season. That is my guess. But, like, if this goes whatever way and there's massive resistance from John Morant, Desmond, Jaren Jackson about him as the next head coach, I don't think he'll be the next head coach. That's why I don't think it's locked in. I think the most important thing is those guys. And so, you know, I don't think there's... If there is some tissue rejection between him as a head coach and your star players, I don't think he'll be the head coach.
It's why, and whatever, it's one of my little pet theories. I think that whatever you say about Zach Kleiman and the work that he's done over the last 3 years, I think pulling the plug now is sort of more courageous because it turns the spotlight immediately on him. It also makes Isolo look like there could be tissue rejection if that was the plan going forward. I think it's riskier.
It's probably, like, in retrospect, everything's easier in hindsight, right? If you know something didn't work out, you wouldn't do it again, right? So that's always easy. But in retrospect, like, they should have made the change last summer.
Clearly.
You know?
Right.
Or even in retrospect, they should have made it, like, at the All-Star break or at the trade deadline or whatever.
Yes.
But that, you know, those decisions were made at the time, and then it looked good at the start of the season. And so it happened when it happened. But once it reached the point... Once it reached the point where they, this is what I wrote, but once it reached the point where they decided the change will be made, like it's not dependent upon playoff performance anymore. It is, we've decided we're making a change. At that point, it probably is best to do it, even if the timing seems completely bizarre to people.
Have you read the ESPN piece? Is there anything new in it?
It's a good piece. I don't think there's some details. There's some additional detail on things we already knew that's new. Yes, a good detail.
Yeah.
I think the overarching sort of sense of things is not different from what we've been talking about or what Drew and I have written about. No, but there's some good, like, new detail in there. Yes.
Warriors tonight. They've won 7 out of 10. Thoughts on the Warriors?
Yeah, it would have been nice to face them when Curry wasn't playing, right?
Yeah, that would have been better.
And so, I think that team, since the trade deadline, and I'm going to write about this probably next week, even though it seems foolish at this point for the Grizzlies, but it is what it is. I've been tracking, like, how teams look with the players who will actually play in the playoffs, and the Warriors are a team that looks a lot better than their total record. Like, last time I looked at it, they were either second or third in the West, if you just look at players who will be in their playoff rotation. And so that's a team who is better right now than their record. The Grizzlies are a team that is worse right now than their record. And so, yeah, the Warriors look legit as long as they got their guys on the floor. And the key to that is Steph Curry. I think it doesn't really work without Steph Curry, but guess what? He's one of the best players of all time, and so that's the way it goes. But I take that team very seriously with Curry, Butler, and Draymond all together.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Herndon from the Daily Memphian. We do have a story up at the Daily Memphian. The Memphis Tigers they've started their season ticket campaign. But in the course of that, they have revealed a couple of things, Jeffrey. First of all, they're going to be reducing seating capacity at FedEx Forum. This is according to a story by Partha Padhyay. By 2,649 for men's basketball games. Basically, what they're going to do is, you know how they'd curtained off certain parts of the north
level.
And south ends of the terrace level?
Yep.
Right. That's what they're going to be doing going forward on a more permanent basis. So if your tickets had been there, and I'd seen talk of this on the Tiger page, people had already gotten calls from the ticket office saying you're not going to be able to keep your seat in that same spot. And so it will displace some season ticket holders and capacity. Again, it'll shrink from 18,400 to 14,470. But they did say they retain the ability to open the curtains for games as ticket sales deem necessary. So there is that. They also said that they were going to... They're going to try to have the price other sections such that they're more affordable. I don't particularly have the details on that. But then in addition, there is a 9.75% sales tax. That's the sales tax rate combining Tennessee's statewide sales tax and Shelby County's. And it will now be applied on all sports, tickets, parking, etc. And evidently, the athletic department has historically eaten that. And so now that will be added. So you'll be paying essentially 10% more for your tickets, and you will not be sitting in certain sections of the terrace level. They did say that they're not adding any new fees associated with revenue sharing, as some schools have done. Some schools have said, listen, we're going to have to pay this new revenue sharing. We're going to be raising prices for that reason or having a fee for that reason. Those things are not done, but going to be done. But you can read that story over at the Daily Memphian. I know, you feel bad for the people who are going to be displaced, but the truth of the matter is, I don't think this is ignominious to recognize reality. And reality is, you don't get more than 14,000 people.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's just true. And it's true across sports everywhere, college sports, everywhere. Capacity, if you were to build a new arena for the Memphis Tigers, let's say on campus, you would not build an 18,000-seat capacity.
No, but I mean, if you were building a new arena for the Memphis Grizzlies, it wouldn't look like FedEx Forum.
And that's true, too. So they're just, honestly, like, you have these big cavernous areas up there. What is the point? I don't object to it. Again, there are some people who are going to be displaced, and I feel bad for those folks. All right, we got Fishman coming up next. We'll talk to Charles Fishman, Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, you should call Josh Heisa. Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. It's what Kyle and Amanda did. They got a family, they got a growing family, all of that. And in fact, they didn't want to go through the nonsense of marketing their house, fixing up their house, cleaning their house before every showing, etc. So they called Josh. He came over, told them what the market value was for their home, and made a cash offer. And they didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. It was at full market value for their home. And so that's what they did. Easy peasy. He also gives you 4 months then to move out. So there's takes all the stress out of selling your home. Just one way to do it. Lots of options. One way to do it with Josh Heisa. Again, the phone number 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Coming up next, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, you'll want to circle this. This Saturday, Robert Irwin Jewelers, it's the store in Bartlett. The store in Bartlett is having a six-hour sale, 60% off. It's just kind of crazy. 60% off. This isn't any marking up to markdown. It is a real 60% off sale. 60% off everything in the showcase for 6 hours this Saturday. This Saturday for 6 hours, they are going to be doing it. And that includes, by the way, engagement rings. 60% off engagement rings, 60% off brand name watches, everything 60% off. Bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstone. Again, it is the it's their Bartlett location. They only do this every once in a while at select stores. Their Bartlett location this Saturday, 6-hour sale, 60% off. For complete details, just go to rijewelers.com or follow them on social media at rijewelers. Joined now by Charles Fishman. He's our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. Charles, how are you?
I'm confused. I will say I'm confused. I'm confused.
What?
I'm economically confused.
Well,
On the one hand, I mean, you talked about this, the best news of the day.
Yep.
Not an April Fool's joke.
Yep.
Not an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
A major U.S. major, a significant U.S. college athletic program.
Yep.
Decides to make concessions free at its home football games. Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers.
Yep.
Can you tell me what a Chanticleer is?
No. Jeffrey can. Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
It's like a rooster from Chaucer.
There. Okay. There you go.
Okay, great. It's a real thing. Anyway, isn't that amazing that you can walk up to the concession stand if you go to a Coastal Carolina football game this fall, and you can get a hot dog, a fountain drink, popcorn and nachos, any of those 4 or all 4 mm-hmm. free.
The really amazing thing is that you can do it again and again and again. As many times as you want to go to the concession stand, you can keep doing it.
I would put that aside, though. Let's be honest. People don't eat hot dogs because they're free. People will eat their fill. They won't overeat.
No. Have you looked at America? I would certainly go twice. I'd go once at the beginning of the game and then once at the end. I could eat 2 hot dogs,
drinks. Hot dog to go.
No,
yeah,
the first half, second half.
In the middle of the third quarter. But anyway, yeah. I think once you've had a hot dog and nachos and a fountain drink, your desire for more.
Speaking of your own.
The AD... Uh-huh. At Coastal Carolina, you know me. I love hot dogs. When I have hot dogs for dinner, that I grill.
That's why I don't understand why you're saying why you're not acknowledging, why you're insistent on this point that people only eat 2 hot dogs. But onward to the AD. To the AD. What about the AD?
The AD said it will pay for itself with increased ticket sales. Although I looked up their attendance because you know me and statistics and sports statistics.
Yeah, big.
I never let it go.
Big. Yeah.
They've been running 20,000, and they're close to, you know, they're not filling it up completely. I forget the name of the stadium, but because with a G, Gibson Stadium, that's not right. So I was impressed with that. The most interesting thing I read, this was in the story from The Athletic, is the AD says, literally, this was announced yesterday, literally his AD buddies, he had calls from athletic directors around the nation complaining that their fans are already demanding to know where's their free hot dog. That I love.
Well, I do wonder. I mean, in the end, if you want to buy nicer concessions, if you want the barbecue nachos or you want the alcohol, you have to pay for that. You got to pay for the tickets. I do think that one of the things, like I was
thinking. They raise ticket prices. Going into this fall, he acknowledged that. The other thing is you have to scan your quote-unquote order on their app every time. You can go.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. What's the advantage? Well, why is that? Well, why is
that
significant?
They're getting a lot of information about you. They're using it. AD said we want to build our fan base. And frankly, having your phone number and your email address and your behavior through the app is going to be hugely valuable to us. They can use it to send you targeted offers. They can ask whether you're coming to this Saturday's game. They can also sell it. They can also sell the information about their fans. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's benchmark it. This is year 5. We're actually into year 6 of Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Let's see whether the Chanticleers are still doing this in 5 years.
Yeah,
let's see if we're still doing it
in 5 years. They're going to have to give me, I'll tell you what, I just redid my contract here. And if they had offered me a Coke and a free hot dog and whatever, I would have been happy. You know, that's more what I got, more than what I got. So I would have happily taken.
I mean, I think it's interesting. Would I have gone to more football games in college if the concessions had been free?
I think at some level you don't go, let's go get the free hot dog. That's not. But I think the opposite does work. The opposite works is that you're like, I don't want to go to games anymore. It's too damn expensive. I gotta pay.
No, that's it. You're right. Not. I mean, they charge whatever $7.50 for a hot dog. I can buy 8 hot dogs for $7.50 at the grocery store. Right. Yeah.
I mean, a minor league baseball game, and the Redbirds open tonight, and it was $9 a beer. $9 a beer at a minor league baseball game. I may it was $8.25, but I think it was $8.25 for the hot dog. I just, what are you talking about? Like, I love the Redbirds.
You paid to get in. You didn't pay $5 to get in.
So. It's a disincentive to go. Go ahead.
Sometimes
I have insight.
You act like a guy who took an economics class or two, and I love that. But why am I confused? What's happening with the entire global economic system? Coastal Carolina is making everything free.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is definitely not planning on making anything free.
Is there a chance that this whole thing is an April Fool's joke? Like, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what the evidence is that it's not an April Fool's joke. I don't think Donald Trump has ever pulled off an April Fool's joke or attempted to. He's not really a jokey guy. Somebody, confessedly, who's not a fan of his pointed out during the election campaign that they've never seen Donald Trump genuinely laugh. Which is kind of an interesting point. He's not an April Fool's joke guy. Here's the news on Sunday. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
On Sunday, representatives of China, Japan, and South Korea met to discuss coordinating their tariff response strategy. Now, China is our third biggest trading partner. Really, as everybody knows, really important trading partner. Toyota's come from Japan, and Hyundai's come from South Korea. Lots of stuff comes from Japan and South Korea as well. You know when the last time was those three nations talked about economic policy together? It hasn't happened since before the pandemic. So I would rate that as serious. I think South Korea and Japan, two of America's closest allies. We have 40,000 troops stationed in South Korea, and they're coordinating with our main global rivalry to figure out. Now, China somehow released news yesterday that they would respond in lockstep. This morning, Japan and South Korea said, we're not quite there yet, but we are certainly talking to them.
What's confusing to me is...
Here's the thing.
Go ahead, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, what's the point?
We don't know what Donald Trump is going to do, and by all reports out of the White House, on the day before, he literally scrambles the entire World Economic Order. Apparently, he hasn't decided what he's going to do either. Yesterday, he told reporters he was going to be lenient and exempt some nations altogether and only do reciprocal tariffs where he looks at your tariff and imposes our tariff similarly. This morning, the Washington Post, in the latest definitive leak story, by the way, White House leaks too, he wants to impose 20% on everybody across the board, every product coming into the U.S. So those are two completely different strategies. The White House keeps saying he wants to boldly remake the World Economic Order. I use the word scramble because if you're going to boldly remake something, if I'm going to boldly remake the design of my house, if I'm going to boldly remake the organization of the next book I'm writing, I need to have a plan. And if you haven't even decided what the tariffs are going to be 24 hours before you impose them, then how can your goals be clear? So I think this could be disastrous.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It has already been just in terms of the market and I mean, Trump has said he does not care about car prices if inflation goes up.
He said I don't care if they raise prices. Right.
That's
what I'm
saying.
Care.
I could care. That's what I'm saying. He said he doesn't care.
I could care less.
I could care less. That's what he said about that. And then the market is down for March, the S&P 500 down 5.8%. So you do wonder. I just get the sense, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe our Trump listeners would tell me I'm wrong. I get the sense people voted for him out of discontentment with two things. One is inflation, and two is and prices, inflation generally, and two is the crazy ass fringe leftward gender stuff, you know, whatever. Like, it just got to be too much. It's just kind of, you know, the wokeness got to be a little too much, honestly. I got the sense that that was, I don't get the sense that they voted for higher car prices, tariffs, 20%, whatever it is across the world, the stock market going down 6%. People being scooped off the street. There seems like a disconnect
here. Here's what could happen. Economists can't agree on who's on the, you know, which president is on the face of the penny, right? The economists love to argue. Economists agree that global trade in general is a good thing. Countries do what they're best at. And then this idea, Donald Trump has this idea that if we buy more goods from Canada than they buy from us, that's a trade deficit. That is, they send more to us, we send more money to them, that's somehow a ripoff. But that's not a ripoff at all. They didn't make us buy the timber and the oil and the car parts. If I go to the dry cleaner, somebody used this on CNBC, I thought this was perfect, and I spend $35 to have two dresses and four shirts dry cleaned, and then I hand the guy $35, and all he does is give me my clothes back. I don't have a trade deficit with the dry cleaner that needs to be equalized. I bought something from him I wanted. That's called, trade is just another word for supply and demand, for purchasing, for the economy. And he has this idea that we need to be level or, quote unquote, ahead of everybody on trade. And that's not the way the economy works. The view of economists is that if you impose tariffs across the board on the whole import economy, on the whole trade economy, first of all, the world will respond, and they will respond bigly. And that's why China is talking to our two closest allies in Asia, South Korea and Japan. And the Mark Zandi of Moody's is one of the most prominent public economists in the country. The economy will slow because prices will have gone up. It will raise unemployment because factories and companies won't get to export, but they don't necessarily make the stuff we want to buy. Prices will rise. You're putting a 20% increase on everything, which means everything else can also go up, and the economy will go into recession. And that's, no one signed up for that. Like, if you want to equalize tariffs, maybe there's an argument that Germany or Finland or Australia or whoever, that they have, South Korea, that they have some advantage over us. Well, negotiate that. He's the one who renegotiated the trade deal between Mexico and Canada that he's about to abrogate.
Okay, the argument is that what's going to happen is that all these car manufacturers are then going to move their stuff into the U.S., and it may take a little while, but all of a sudden we're going to have abundant car manufacturing here, and that's true of everything. We're just going to produce. What's going to do is over time, where it's going to bring back manufacturing, and we're going to make the stuff that is now made in Canada or in South Korea or whatever else. And I guess my struggle with that is that seems like an awfully long-term play. By the time that even would be happening, there could be another administration. Like
He won't be president. But also, then you're permanently locking in high prices. The reason towels are made in Bangladesh and Vietnam
and
toys are made in China is all kinds of reasons. But wages are lower there. The cost of producing is low. We make pharmaceuticals. We make advanced technology. So anyway, it's not clear what the goals are, and it's much, much more complicated than just they make more money selling us stuff. A Honda has more U.S.-made content than a Ford. A Honda has more U.S.-made content than a Ford. What are you tariffing there? What are you tariffing? So
you didn't tell me about it. Go ahead.
They're counting on $600 billion in tariff revenue. They're counting on the tariff. You impose the tariff. The money you collect goes to the federal government. The total corporate income taxes is $450 billion a year. That's the total of all company income tax paid in the U.S., $450 billion a year, and they are predicting $600 billion in tariff revenue. Well, first of all, that's a huge tax increase for all of us. Imagine if we were announcing the doubling of corporate income taxes as of April 2nd. Everybody would go crazy.
Right.
And they would all say, by the way, corporations don't pay taxes, people do. But as soon as you impose the tariffs, people stop buying things. So the revenue disappears. Anyway, it's going to be a crazy week.
I wanted to follow up. I know you're big on following up on stuff. We haven't mentioned, we brought up the Warren Buffett pool. He was trying to give away $1 million to the, if someone could
he
get it.
He changed the rules.
Yeah.
He was disappointed.
What was the, I want the update. He changed the rules. You no longer had to get everyone right in the first round. You had to, I don't know what
you
he changed the rules.
You had to get 32, right.
You had to get 32.
What, you remember what it was? You had to get 30 of 32.
Okay.
He changed the rules.
Did anyone win?
And the contest has been running 9 years, never given away $1 million. He has already paid out. This year, of his employees, 12 people got the first 31 of 32 games correct. 12 people. That's impressive. They did not all win $1 million. There were rules if there was a tie. That's a tie. And you're disappointed that he didn't.
It would just suck to get 31 of 32 and defend not getting $1 million.
And not get your million. Here's how they did it. It was based on who went the longest during the tournament without getting a game wrong. That strikes me as odd because the scheduling of the games, right, has nothing to do with your opinion.
Well, it's going to be random one way or another. It's that randomness or it's drawing straws or something, right? Like, what are you going to do?
So the guy who won asked that his name not be released. He was a employee of Flight Services International. It's a company Berkshire Hathaway owns that trains pilots. He went 29 games in a row without a miss and picked 31. He won the million. The other 11 people got $100,000.
Oh, that's okay.
So not a bad pool payoff, except if you went screaming to your husband or wife, honey, I picked.
And I got $1 million. Yeah, right. Microsoft's turns 50 this Friday. I amazing it's only 50.
Microsoft turns 50 this Friday. It was born April 4th, 1975. I think that's such a, I was so struck by that. Microsoft is the, Microsoft is really one of the kind of modern public utilities. It's like gas and electric. I mean, now there's Google Docs, and lots of people do everything in Google Docs, but Google Docs kind of exists because of Microsoft. Until 5 years ago, if you were using a spreadsheet, if you were making a PowerPoint presentation, if you were writing anything, including Outlook, your email, you were using Microsoft. Remember, last year we had the huge whole global economic freeze because there was a glitch in a Microsoft program that took down the airlines and the hospitals, your IV machine, your air traffic control. Microsoft is everywhere, 50 years old. I use Microsoft products every single day. So people talk about how wonderful it is to use Apple tools because they're so user-friendly, so customer-friendly. Microsoft was never particularly user-friendly. I remember typing prompts into the little C with the arrow on it at the prompt. But Microsoft made the world safe for the personal computer. And so that's kind of amazing. And still chugging,
We sadly are not going to get to Hooters bankruptcy story or anything about Canadians. But here's the thing. We got next week. Charles, thank you very much.
Canadians are not coming to America on vacation. See it in the numbers. They are retaliating already.
All right. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. Charles Fishman on Twitter at @CFishman. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They will be joined by Jessica Benson today. David Cobb's going to join me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Good God. Let's hope the Grizzlies win tonight. We'll be here to talk about it. For now, our work is done.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vellani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.